I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. I want to be more like him and do. For I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land. Amen. Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? Good, good, good. You happy to be here this morning? You love God? Are you a hard-fighting soldier? I'm a hard. Sing it with me. Hey, yes, and I'm on this old battlefield. Oh, I'm a hard. Yeah. And I'm on this old battlefield. Well, I'm a hard-fighting soldier. And I'm on the battlefield. I'll keep on bringing. Come on, sing it with me. Jesus, by the service that I give, well, I've got my helmet on my head, in my hand, my sword. Yes, I've got my helmet on my head, yes, in my hand, my sword and shield. Well, I've got my helmet on my head, in my hand, my sword. Well, I'll keep on bringing souls. Yes, by the service that I give, well, I'm a hard-fighting soldier, and I'm on this so bad. Oh, yes, I'm a hard-fighting soldier. Yes, and I'm on this old battlefield. Well, I'm a hard-fighting soldier, and I'm on the battlefield. I'll keep on bringing souls by the service that I give. Amen, amen, and good morning once again. If you are visiting with us this morning here at the Fifth Ward Church, you're a truly honored guest, and thank you so much for being with us today. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be alive and blessed by God. This is the last Sunday in the month of September. We are about to embark on the last quarter of the year, and time does not stand still for anybody. And you know, beginning in October, the last quarter, I think our Bible classes will change after next week or so. And so we want to finish the year strong. We want to finish the year strong for the Lord. We might not finish the year. We never know what God has planned for us. But while we're here, we need to be doing the Lord's work. If you will, I want to give a lesson this morning entitled Lessons from Church History. Lessons from Church History. That's the title, if you want to give it a title. The Church of Christ was born, and this is history. I borrowed pieces from different ones and to put this lesson together. But the main source is the Bible. The Church of Christ was born in troublesome times. 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, and this is historically in the Bible, you can read it. And I say the Church of Christ because if you open your Bibles, you see that there was one church mentioned in the Bible. Jesus prophesied about the church. And in Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church when he was on this earth. And when you read the Bible, when it talks about the church, it just says the church more times than any. And that's the church that I'm talking about. And I know what's transpired through the ages and how there's so many different names and groups and all, but in this particular time, it was pretty simple. And the church was born in troublesome times. the bold and uncompromising preaching that was characteristic of those early disciples, the apostles, it was met with violent resistance. It was embraced by many, but it was challenged also. For instance, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John were imprisoned and they were whipped. Thank the Lord today. Thank the Lord they're not putting preachers in jail in the United States and whipping them today. Thank the Lord. I didn't hear you say thank the Lord. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, Acts 4, 1. Take notes. Write these scriptures down. We'll have them up here. Some of these, you need to remember some of these because we're so far removed. And I think sometimes history helps us to appreciate what we have. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, this is Peter and John, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, on Peter and John, and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. They were put in jail simply for preaching the truth, for preaching and teaching what was, what is, and what was to come, what is to come, what is even now in the future. They were put in jail for simply telling the truth of which Jesus told them to tell. This church history now, telling us the foundation on which we stand. The brother read and you're hearing a few minutes ago, Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, says, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. Now, this is during the time the church had been established in Acts chapter 2. The church is growing. Jesus had given the apostles the ability to perform miracles and they performed signs. They didn't have the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, as we have them today. The signs were simply to confirm that what they were saying was the truth. Amen, somebody. This is history. It's history. And the people were receiving it and they were accepting it. It says they were with one accord in verse 13, but none of the rest dared to associate with them. Now you'd have to read their history. Before this, Ananias and Sapphira were killed because they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the apostles. And one of the things that happened when people saw how serious the church was, how serious the truth was, they either gathered and embraced the church or they stayed away from it. Amen. Which is really kind of what needs to happen. See, during this time, they saw how serious this business was, and they said, we're not going to have nothing to do with that. They're killing folk who lying. Lord have mercy. But then it says, however, the people held them in high esteem. The rest of them really were the leaders, the Pharisees, the high priests, all those people. They had nothing to do. They said, we don't want to have nothing to do with this. But people said, man, they got something. They got that must be. And they held them in high esteem. Verse 14, and all the more believers in the Lord. Multitudes of men and women, didn't give a specific number in this case, were constantly added to their number. This was a tremendous time in the history of the church. Numbers were growing. Men and women were hearing, teaching, preaching, going on. Literally every day something was going on. But the price was paid. Stephen, I'm just going down through part of the history. Stephen became the first Christian martyr. The first individual who was actually killed for the cause of Christ. Amen. Yeah. If you're a Christian today, are you ready to die for God? I thought I would ask that question. I asked myself and we brush it off, but if it came to it, if it really came to it, would you be willing to die to attest that you are a Christian who believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He died, he was buried, this is why Stephen died. He preached this long sermon. Amen. And in the end, he said, this same Jesus whom you crucified, he's now Lord. Oh, Lord, they got so mad. And they stoned him to death. for teaching what he believed. Lord have mercy. I know that's serious. Brother Gary, I ain't come here to be that serious. I just thought. This in Acts 7, verse 58, when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Yeah. I know. But that's how dedicated Stephen, the apostles, were to the cause of Christ and to the church of Christ, as we read about it in the Bible. And then for the following 2.5 centuries, so this is A.D. about, Jesus dies at around A.D. 33. The church is established, the church is established, and then the church experiences this growth, all this teaching and preaching, A.D. 40, 50, during the apostles' years, 60, as many of the New Testament letters are written, AD 67, 68, maybe AD 70. Then the next 1.5 centuries, 100, actually 2.5 centuries, up to the year AD 300, the church, the original church you can read about in the Bible, is literally bathed in blood. Thousands of saints tortured, murdered in gruesome ways. You have Nero, who was the emperor, who burned up Rome, the city of Rome. He burned the whole city down. He did that with his crazy self. But he blamed the Christians because he didn't want, after he did it, the people realized he was a nutcase and he had to put the blame on somebody. Who else to blame? He blamed the Christians. Some of the Christians he had tarred and he hung them in his garden and he burned them and used them as light. And people approved of it. The destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, when all of this persecution, all this stuff going on right in their cities. As they were, we so spoiled, Lord have mercy, in the city of Houston. As Christians today, we come and go as we will, and nobody challenges us. You know, we do the things that we want to do. Nobody talking about us really that much. Yeah, and I just reading how would we have functioned during a time of turbulence like this? How would we? You talking about testing your faith? Oh, Lord have mercy, that would have been a serious test of faith, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. But you know, although this period of persecution was horrible, it was dreadful, it seemed to fuel church growth. You just read in the Bible, and it also sparked these priceless benefits that can only be attributed to sacrifice and commitment. One of the benefits that you can see in the Bible is that the hardships that the Christians went, it toughened them. It toughened those who were truly converted to Jesus. It hardened them. And I thought about that. I said, Lord, how in the world could it toughen? Well, you know, if you think about it today, the person that is most vulnerable to the hardships of life is the one who haven't experienced any hardships. Yeah. See, I wonder, and I really do. Sometimes I think too serious about things. You know, when things are going good for a period of time, you know, you pray, thank the Lord, but you also don't want to get too excited because you know something down the road, something might happen to bring us down a couple of notches. You know what I mean? And I wonder what we would do. I was thinking about, there are some situations going on in the country right now. For instance, the Syrians. Oh, millions, literally. Some of we see it on the news and we just click it out. I don't want to see this. It's like it's not real. That's happening. You have literally almost, they say, maybe 4 million Syrians who have left have had to leave their homes, their country, because of the unrest in their country. What do you mean, Brother Gary? What's happening? You have militant groups in the city, in the country, who are fighting against the government who they are not pleased with, and you have a government that's out of control. They don't know what to do, and you have all of these factions fighting against each other, and then the government flying bombs and trying to combat all this and killing innocent people. 200,000 plus people have been killed during this unrest. And some of the families, if I was there and I had my girls and my family, and some of them don't have water, they don't have food, they don't have services, and they say, we gotta go and we leave. Suppose tomorrow you had to leave your home. Some of us, we wouldn't make it. We just wouldn't make it. It's just my brother would tell the truth. I can't. Some of us, if we don't take a bath for 2 days, we fall out. You talking about taking a bath. Some of them, people don't change clothes. And some of the things, some of us got more clothes than we know what to do with. And I'm in that boat also. I'm in that boat. You know, some of us eat 6 times a day. Oh, Brother Garrett, no, you know, that's right. You eat your meals and you're snacking all the time. Got snacks in your purse, right? Some of you might be eating. That's something to think about. See, because sometimes we live in fantasy land. We want everything to be just so perfect and so, and you know, and I just, you know, I I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I was thinking, I say, you know, hardships, some, you know, I thank God that my parents didn't spoil me. Amen. I do. Yes. I do. Because, you know, when you see somebody that's spoiled, somebody's older and they're spoiled. It's hard to see. Some people complain about everything. You know, when I'm in a large group and they got food and, you know, say they're serving food, and, you know, we all picky, but sometimes you just need to be quiet and take what you got right there. And when you get able to do better, you do better. Quit making everybody else miserable. And we can't put up with nothing if the temperature in here is not 74, you can't even worship God. And some folk don't have air conditioning. Some of us are not used to them gone. If you've been spoiled and you've had your way, you better get yourself ready. In the church, see, they wasn't playing. When folk came to worship, after you going through trials and having to make sure nobody not around the corner trying to kill you, and you come to worship, you think you playing in worship? You think you're not listening for God's word for your life? Yeah. And so these hardships, they're tough and they're truly converted. And then one of the other things it did, it weeded out the hypocrites in the church. So you wasn't playing church during that time. It prevented insincere people from identifying with the people of God. Notice we read in Acts chapter 5 that some of the church leaders, they wouldn't have anything to do with it. They say, no, we're not getting in that, because if we lie, we know something's going to happen to us. You see, and so you see here, there was hardship. As one historian, he put it, I'm quoting from him, he said, one effect of the trials through which the Christians of that period passed, one of the effects of the trials which the Christians of that period passed was a purified church. The persecutions kept away all who were not sincere in their professions. That is something. And it's not to say, of course, we, even as a church today, we welcome anybody who would want to be a child of God. But also we need to recognize there is a price to pay to be a Christian. It's not any which way you go. Do what you want to do. Just join the church. It wasn't that during this time. Yes, and you see that. But in spite of, excuse me, in spite of the tribulations, the church grew, and it grew rapidly. Yeah, some scholars estimate that there were possibly some 60 million Christians by the end of the second century, 200 AD, 100 AD. I don't think we can fathom that, because today, do you know what the books say, that how many Church of Christ members are in the land? It's less than 1% of the 300 plus million people in the United States. It says I would be stretching it to say there were 2 million in all the world. And that's a small number. History didn't stop. I don't know. I think I'm going to stop it, trying to stop at 9 o'clock. In the early 4th century, see, and I'm breaking it down because I want our young people to understand the time span. Jesus' death, the church established about A.D. 33, after the death, A.D. 33. The century, 100 years, is 100 years. 100, the first century, during the first century, 200. In the early 4th century, the beginning of the 300, A.D. 300, the Roman Emperor Constantine was the ruler, Roman ruler. And really, it changed the climate of Christianity. Amen. It did, because actually Constantine was friendly to Christians. And he's famous for the Edict of Toleration, and Constantine at once put an end to the persecution of those who professed to follow Christ. And before that time, there was persecution on every hand. There was slavery, and this produced some very good effects as far as society is concerned. As for in general, crucifixion was one of the methods of capital punishment. It was abolished during Constantine's time. Slavery began to fade. Murdering of unwanted children was repressed, and this is during that time of the church, and it was actually a time of popularity for Christianity, although some divisions were beginning to take place. But also during this time, unwanted elements crept into the church, and we're going through history so we can learn from history. The church and the Bible, and so we can learn today. We are a local body here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ that worships in Fifth Ward. We have elders, and I'm one of the evangelists here, and we are a local body of members that meet, and we're trying to be pleasing to God, aren't we? Yeah, we're not trying to be any kind of church and just come here and, you know, we just one of the churches that of all the churches. We are trying to be a church that's pleasing to God. And other elements crept into the church. And a guy by the name of Hubbard, J.L. Hubbard, he writes a book. It's called The Story of the Christian Church. He makes a quote in his book. He said, "Everybody sought membership in the church during this time." And it says nearly everybody was received, both good and bad. Sincere people and hypocritical seekers after gain rushed into the communion of the church. That's why the popularity was so. Yet everybody, it was kind of a symbol, you know. Sometimes it's kind of like that today. You know, it's a status. Some folk want, especially these big churches. Some people say, "I'm a member of so and so church," and it lends them some kind of credibility. Because Constantine now has made it okay to be a Christian, and anybody, well, Constantine says right, is right. Well, it was right before he said it. Yeah, no matter who's in the church, sometimes we wait to see, well, what you think about what you just heard. What do you think about the church? What do you think about? Well, not, you don't need to be asking people what they think about it. You need to consult the Word of God and consult your heart and to see if you agree with what God says. Amen. You need to obey God, because some people will lead you down the wrong way. I'm not saying don't listen to anybody. Some people are trying to encourage us, but you need to finally make a final decision for yourself and for nobody else. Yeah. Booming attendance is highlighted as a successful church. One, we need to be careful here at the Fieldwater Church. You know, you realize we are in the minority when it comes to church attendance. Our attendances average about 900 to 1,000 members on any given Sunday. And we are the minority. Actually, Churches of Christ in the United States all over, the average attendance is less than 100 members. 150 members, that's the average attendance and many churches are small congregations. And it's not all about just the numbers. Yeah. Because see, some people come here because they see a big sign. That's a nice sign. There must be some people with money at this church. It's not the numbers. Some churches have the numbers, but little emphasis on straightforward, scripturally based Bible teaching. Listen. As the evangelist here at this church, Brother Ray Wilkerson, myself as one of the evangelists here at the church, preachers, we have young men who are coming up in our preachers' class. We're not motivational speakers. Although the Bible does edify, lifts up, it encourages, it motivates. We are gospel preachers who preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Paul told Timothy, in season and out of season. In season when you're feeling good and loving everything you're hearing, and out of season when you want to close your ears, it's still the truth. Amen. Even when you don't want to hear it. Even when you are wallowing in sin yourself. Amen. Yeah, it's the word of God that gets us back in order. And some refuse to preach on some topics, on some subjects. Some congregants, some preachers can't preach. If I've been married 7 times, I don't need to preach on marriage. If I got a girlfriend, 2 or 3 girlfriends on the side, if I'm having sex with little boys, I need to sit my tail down somewhere. Yeah, now play that on TV. Yeah. And then some people don't want to hear it. Some people want it to disappear. That's not what I come here for, Brother Gary. And therefore, this is the road the church has traveled during the ages, during the years. He writes in his book also that through history, church services became more elaborate, less spiritual. You know that's happening in the land today. It hadn't just started today. I plan on, after our meeting, the month of October, to give some lessons on worship. Worship, our personal worship, our collective worship. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be one of the distinctive things. It's something going on in the brotherhood now about different types of worship. And I hope to deal with some of those topics in the month of October. But church services become more elaborate, less spiritual. Hubbard, he says in his book, the services of worship increased in splendor, but were less spiritual and harder than those of former time. He's talking about years ago. More focused on the worship experience. You notice in the New Testament, you read the New Testament, there's not a lot of emphasis on actually the worship experience per se. But there is much emphasis on teaching the word of God, the truth, and obeying the truth. And progressively through the years, it's we the AD 33, the church is established, AD 300. Some of the reformations, the persecution is subsided. More freedoms, more people began to be in church. Then the divisions, the sanctions start coming. And then in about 600 to 700 AD, the organ is introduced. in worship service. Before that time, in New Testament time, there was no mention of any instrument during the worship times. And so you see some of the things that were added. The church fathers of that day, and I say church fathers, individuals who were scholars, who were versed in the scriptures, they rejected all of that. But it still happened. Yeah, and so we'll deal with that a little bit later. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. That is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Many of them attested to this as we do even today. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is what we're talking about, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And so when we come together collectively, and when you're in the Lord's house, as was it for it to be for them back then, we give a sacrifice of praise. And you know, I'm tell you something. When you come to worship service, you got all this stuff on your mind, and you think about your bills, and you wondering, did you leave a pot on before you left the house? And you did I close the garage? And my knee is hurting, my ankle. Did I take my medicine this morning? You need to let some of that stuff go. No, you need to let it all go. Notice what. And when we come to the worship, we're talking about a sacrifice of praise. See, sacrifice is to let something go that you really kind of want to think about. Some of it you want to do. See, you don't need to be thinking about your tickets to the play. Hurry up so I can make sure I'm on time to the play when I get out of worship service. It's a sacrifice of praise and thank the Lord. I'm here to give glory and honor to God. And thank you, Lord, for my health and my strength. And thank you that things are as well as they are with me right now. Thank you. If I die right now, I get to spend eternity with you, Lord. Is that something to thank God about? See, listen, boy, oh Lord, I mean, our singing will be so much different. Okay, I don't like singing. Tell that to somebody else. Your song come on, you can't sing a lick, and you just singing all day long. Your song could be any song. I like country western. That's your song. When we come to the Lord's house, we just, yeah, hear things. Everything else going on. It's all about me. Ooh, I got so much. Ooh, I'm worried about so much. He said it's a sacrifice. He notices. I sing in my mind. He said the fruit of lips. See, notice it. Nobody can exercise your lips. But you, amen, somebody. Oh, boy, that's a whole nother lesson. That give thanks to his name. Oh, don't you love it when your children say thank you? Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Dad. My kids, I think they've mastered that. They know how to work me. Not my grandbabies. I'm in my room, just chilling. And I know my wife is the one who's up to this. My grandbaby come in, have a little package of gummy bears, anything. Big Daddy, can you open this for me? And I say, sure, baby. And I open it, or I twist it open. And one time I opened it, she just ran back, didn't say nothing. I didn't say anything. But she comes to me, and when I open it, she said, thank you, Big Daddy. And now she thanks me and kisses me. kiss me on my cheek. Lord, when she leave out, I'll bring something else in here to Big Dad. Oh, Lord. You don't know how many blessings you miss when you don't thank God. I'm thanking him for everything. I'm just thanking the Lord for everything. Thank you, Lord. Yesterday we were so busy. Yesterday here at the church. Thank you. I love the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I'm in love with all of you. We had so much going on. We had Brother Leroy's class was exercising this morning. Yesterday morning, I got here early, 8 o'clock in the morning. A lot of our seniors, they exercised. Many of them stayed. We had calling. We called a lot of them. We didn't call everybody. We got some more names, but Barry's going to tell you about it. We need to call some more people. We had a group. Many of the singles came out. We went canvassing in the neighborhood. We passed out flyers in the neighborhood. Brother Wilkerson, Brother Harris' class had a fellowship. Their class in there. They were eating. I was after the canvas. I was in my office trying to study and do some other things. And somebody brought me my wife brought me a plastic. Ooh, thank you, baby. Our young ladies, our glow sisters, they were here with the young girls. All this was going on yesterday. Then one of our brothers and his wife buried his daughter's mother. A group rode down there, and I'm mentioning some of this. Some of us we don't keep up or we don't know what's going on. So there are ways that all of us can be involved in the Lord's work in so many different ways, and we just need to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so let me finish. I'm gonna stay on time. But the church through history, it seems that it was corrupted by power. There was more focus. The worship styles changed. Churches started to spend more. Seem like spend more on themselves. You know, now churches have, some churches are so bogged down in huge mortgages. A mortgage can shackle a church. Amen. It can shackle a church because you once doing ministry, you concentrating on ministry and serving and teaching and preaching. Now you concentrating on paying the mortgage. So you have a place to come. And so churches went from smaller places to elaborate buildings. Now look, we are in this. This building costs money. Thank the Lord for wise elders who are overseeing, and we are not in dire straits. Praise the Lord. The Lord said the same. I think we will hear some good news in a short time about what we're paying on this building. We close, church. And one of the things that they said that we're not going to let, we're paying this bill, we're going to keep our ministries going, we're going to keep serving people, we're going to keep helping people. If it's going to cost all that, we're not going to do it. And that comes from us together doing that. You have many churches who are hurting, struggling because they've taken on too much trying to impress folk. Yeah. Sermons become more watered down. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. He says, Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort with patience, great patience and long suffering. And I was reading that helped me. That helped me. When I read that, I said, you see, sometimes we get mad at people. But you just need to keep doing what's right. Keep teaching what's right. And the church is not mine. Amen. And it's not yours. And we say, I don't know why you didn't show up for my fellowship, your fellowship. Why you didn't do what you were supposed to do? Well, just calm down. Pray for them. You keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen, somebody. I was looking for y'all there. Well, you look for yourself there. You have to look for nobody else. You don't make people. See, some of us, we get mad for the wrong. You just keep doing. Quit trying to indict folks, and you just do what you are supposed to do. You don't know what other people are doing. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And so Paul told him that. But we're talking about, but this is what is happening. That's what happens in church. It happened back then. It happens now. But we have to keep teaching what's right. See, instead of, it seemed as a church progress, instead of Christianity transforming the world to its own ideas, the world began to dominate the church. I believe Paul said in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is and that which is good and acceptable. And I hope and pray that our church don't start looking like the world. See, the church is meant to be a transforming place. As collectively and individuals, we ought to, when we go to a new atmosphere, we don't blend into the walls and become like everything around us. No, we're not trying to go shake people down and debate with people, but we are a light that brings something different to the experience, to the space that we're in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, when members of the church, and I'm closing, and this is an area that's sensitive, but because people, we just don't like nobody telling us what to do. But when members of the church can dress like the world, see, sometimes in the church now, you harp, you're okay, Brooke, you don't need to. See, when members of the church can dress like the world, some people say, well, this is my money. I'll spend it on the way out. We know it's, you know, it's not really not your money anyway. You say it's your money, but God can change all of that. But when you profess to be a Christian, you know, we're the light of the world. And, but when the church looks, you come in the church house and it look like it look in the clubhouse. I mean, can a Christian young lady and a Christian man just dress any kind of way? You know, some folk in the world is, you know, they put on whatever. They look whatever. I believe it was Paul who told Timothy, I want the women to adorn themselves with proper clothes, a modest apparel. Now, apparel that does not bring undue attention to themselves. That's all it means. We know you can wear what you want to wear. But see, what he was saying was, don't dress in a way that is all about you. Remember what you are trying to be, who you are representing. What you are, see, when if I came up here in an all gold shiny suit, gold shoes. Whoo, some of you, I hear some of you right now saying, "Whoo, brother, get wet." Somebody say, "Whoo, look at brother, got it." But a whole lot of folk wouldn't say, what in the world? See, you close doors before they can be opened. Why? Because you're thinking about. And so when the church can party like the world, when the church can neglect any Christian instruction that does not suit their liking. Brother Ray Wilkerson dealt in Bible class a couple of weeks ago with the tough topic of marriage and who can marriage. And he actually tackled the topic last Wednesday on fornication. Woo, brother. Is that still in the Bible? Yeah. And then little is said, nothing is done. It's no wonder, see, the church, the growth of the church back then, it required a commitment, strong commitment. as it does today. The scriptures say Jesus one day is coming back for his glorious church. And do we have a lot of growing to do? We do, we do, we do. But just a reminder of history, of where we come from, what has transpired, things that we can see. And not only what we can see, where we're going today. And I know I'm with the body of believers that's striving. Our theme for 2015 is what? Striving. Are we striving? Are we striving to be better husbands, brothers? Are we? Are we brothers? You want everything to stay. Are we striving to be better wives, sisters? If you're a Bible school teacher, are you striving to have more knowledge in the Word of God to be able to rightly divide the Word of God? We're not perfect. Nobody, if you come in here, I'm not coming to feel well, because y'all think y'all, oh my goodness. I hope that's not what you're getting. But I hope you are receiving the fact that we are trying to be pleasing to God. And we're open to positive criticism, things that we know we need to do right and do better. We need to try to do them better. Amen, somebody. Because we want to be the type of church that Jesus can come back for one day. And we can say that, Lord, we did our absolute best to try to be pleasing in your sight. You here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. This is an exciting time. It's an exciting time for us here at the Field War Church. We're getting ready for our Good News Revival on next Sunday. We have brothers who are ready to preach and ready to teach, brothers who are ready to pray and read scripture. We've been passing out letters. We've been passing out flyers. We still are doing some things, getting ready for that. The church is growing. The church is in ministry. We're helping folk. God is good. But the devil is still busy. Every single day, he don't take a day off. You're here today and you want to be in the body of Christ. You come by faith believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. This is the extended invitation. This is what the apostles opposed to those who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ, if you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, God adds you to his church. You can read about in the Bible. Same church that I've been referring to. You can be added to that church even to this day. If you're here and you want prayer for your life, we will pray for you. If you're here and you want to get something right, you're a child of God, you want to get something right before you leave, and you want us to pray for you, we'll do the same. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing this?
There's a fountain, free tears for you and
you and me.
Let us
haste
ahead
to his ring.
Fount
of love
from
the source
above,
and
he
bids
us
all
freely
drink.
Will you come
to the fount?